Vanessa Matos could not believe what she was reading. I was like, okay, this is a scam. She recalled of a letter she got in February. Her husband, she said, had the same reaction. Yeah, this isn't real, he said. But it was. Ms. Matos's medical debt, more than $900 owed because of complications from surgery at the Massachusetts hospital where she had worked as a nurse, had been forgiven by strangers at a church that she had never been to. Adam Mabry, the lead pastor of that congregation, Althea Church, a multi-ethnic 1,400-member Boston-area Christian community, doesn't know Mrs. Matos, but she does. And she doesn't know him. The two have never spoken. But he said, it doesn't take a theologian to connect the dots. Jesus paid my debt at an unbelievable cost to himself, so it probably makes sense for me to pay another person's debt at some degree of cost to myself. Alethea is actually the organization here. The church worked through RIP Medical Debt, a charitable organization founded in 2014 by two former debt collection executives, Craig Antico and Jerry Ashton. It uses donations to buy portfolios of medical debt at a fraction of their value, and then it forgives it. That's crazy. And when that guy, Craig Antico, one of the co-founders, is on the phone. Hey, Craig, you're on WGN in Chicago. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John.
Is all of that true, what I just said?
Yeah, it is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, including the part where it's
crazy. And I wouldn't believe it either unless I knew that you could buy these portfolios from hospitals and doctors' groups. Because I used to do it, you know, when I did it for a profit. Now I do it for a social profit.
Talk to me about how you do it for a profit. I think I know, but just walk me through that industry. I didn't know that existed until I saw this article.
Sure. When you're in the collection business, you could either collect the money from that's owed to the hospital and get a percentage of it, or you can actually outright buy it. And what you do is, let's say the hospital's owed $100 million, and you think that you can collect, as a collection company, about $15 million of that $100 million, over the next 4, 5, 10 years even. And we will buy it as a for-profit company for about one-third of that, or $5 million. And then we'll go and collect on it and make a profit.
Hmm.
Well, I said, well, why don't we just do this as a charity and use donations and buy it for the same price that a for-profit company would buy it for, and then just wipe it out. And it worked.
Okay, we'll pick it up there in a minute. But back to the original idea. So I guess you have to have some capital. You got to have $5 million to buy $100 million worth of debt. And then you just call these people up, send them letters, do what collecting agencies do, and nickel and dime, and you get some of that money back. And you get more than the original cost. You're talking 5 cents on the dollar, right?
Yeah, now that's what a for-profit company would do. But a nonprofit like RIP is able to get donations and buy that debt and not collect on it. So we just wipe it out and send them letters, the people that are luckily in the portfolios that we buy, and tell them your debt is forgiven because of a generous donation from this church or that person or
yeah.
And so forth.
But you know, Craig, I've always been lucky enough to work for a company with good enough insurance that I always had enough money to pay my medical bills. I know there's a lot of people that don't, but I didn't know exactly what happened to them if they couldn't or didn't. So do the hospitals sometimes just give up on it because they don't think they'll ever collect? And,
They do. Oftentimes they will. And they have charity care, which means if a person or family household makes less than 2 times the poverty level, most hospitals will not even charge them anything.
Huh.
So any listeners that make less than 2 times the poverty level, you can look at it on Google, you will not get a charge at all. But most of the time you have to apply for it. And people are proud or they're scared or they don't understand and they don't apply for it. So like 40 to 50% of the people that actually qualify don't get this charity care, and they get placed for collection. It's a shame. And even people that actually have insurance, because a lot of people now have insurance through their work or otherwise, they think, hey, the insurance is going to cover me. I don't need this charity care. But they darn well do because of these high deductibles.
Well, we used to be the most powerful country in the world, or the most, a lot of things in the world. I'm not so sure that we are now, but most Western societies don't even allow their citizens to get into the kind of medical debt that we do, right? Obviously, the European model, the Canadian model is different, isn't it?
Yeah, we spend twice as much as the nearest country on health care. And therefore, of course, it's more expensive than other countries. But like a nonprofit that did this even before we did this, they said nobody in a civilized country should have to go into bankruptcy or insolvency because of a medical bill. And that is what's happening. People are going insolvent at a prodigious rate of over 15 million people a year are either going into additional debt or using all of their life savings. 15 million people are going insolvent. So that's why, you know, we're doing this. Now, it isn't a panacea. It's not solving the root cause. We call it a resolutionary approach, not a revolutionary approach. We need a revolutionary approach. We'd like to put ourselves out of business, or someone else put us out of business, so that we don't have to do this. But until that happens, we have to help these people that are just being crushed by this medical debt.
So maybe a social medicine plan that we don't have in this country would work. The Affordable Care Act did not resolve this. Obviously, people still incur medical debt, huh?
Yeah. After the Obamacare ACA, a lot of people got insurance. Now almost 90% of our country has insurance, as opposed to what it was before, like only about 80% or a little less. But there's a couple of things that went along with that. People that had insurance had $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 deductibles. So yeah. Can you imagine the first $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 had to come out of their pocket? Well, we've seen that the average person in this country couldn't even come up with $500 without borrowing or selling an asset. We know that that's not good enough. So it didn't help them as much as we thought it would.
So is it a bit of change of heart for you? I'm kind of intrigued by somebody who is making money doing that, now doing it for charitable reasons or executing it for charities.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was doing this for a living, and half of all collections in this country, collection agencies, their business is medical debt. And more than half of all bad debt that's on credit reports is medical debt. So this is a big industry. Mm. Now, when I was doing it, I didn't think of the, you know, detriment that was happening to these low-income or hard-stripped people. I didn't really think about it. I knew I handled it in a respectful way, but I still wanted them to pay. So when another nonprofit came to us and said, hey, we have this idea, my partner Jerry and I, what do you think about it? We thought it was the dumbest thing that we've ever heard. Because why would you forgive debt when it's owed? I mean, come on. And what is, you know, $10 million of debt going to do? And they said, hey, wait a second. What if you're one of the people in that 20,000 that had their debt abolished and you couldn't afford it? And what about all these people going bankrupt and insolvent? Why should we have this happen? And it you know, I still didn't, you know, get it that much, but I helped them out. And then as I helped them out, I started realizing, holy cow, I never realized how much harm this was to these low-income people. And now I'm the happiest guy that ever walked the face of the earth because I get to do this for a living. I get to forgive people's debts, and the donors love it. I love it. The gift recipients love it. The hospitals love it. Hospitals are calling us up like left and right because they want to sell their debt that they'd rather not collect on. So it's quite an amazing turnaround for me. I never liked the collection industry, actually.
To me, that would be an odd and rough calling. But I'm sure you've got a couple of stories, too. So tell me the story about debt forgiven, a family, a bill, in a minute. Hey, John Williams, I'm glad someone's forgiving medical debt, but we're missing the idea that you should not go bankrupt because you got sick or because you were in an accident. We're talking to the co-founder of an organization called RIP Medical Debt. His name is Craig Antico. You just said essentially that, didn't you, Craig? By the way, Aleph, I'm going to let you punch him up rather than me disconnect him by accident. But that's the point you were making a moment ago. And in this society, wealthy as it is, you shouldn't go broke because you got sick, right?
Yes, that's true. It's a sad state of affairs that this is what happens.
I don't suppose anybody's conflating forgiving medical debt with college debt. We've been talking about that the last couple weeks on this show, Craig, and there's a movement afoot to forgive college debt. And we're missing the principle here, America, that if you borrow money or have a bill, that obligation is yours. I think you're in a little different space, but there's something going on here where nobody seems to be willing to accept responsibility for their obligations.
Yeah, you do have to take responsibility. And that's why even forgiving every single debt, even if it was medical, is not the answer. Because some people can pay, even though they make less than 2 times the poverty level. It's not like an automatic thing. It's just that that's the only way that we can do it at this point. I mean, we do qualify people by that 2 times the poverty level and below. We try to help people that are making more than 2 times the poverty level if they're in hardship, you know, if they're insolvent or if their debt is equal to more than 5% of their income. But that's even not those are not perfect. Believe me, there's probably people out there that could have paid this bill and didn't pay it, and now we're forgiving it. But, you know, those people are so small, the small number of people.
Yeah.
Forgiving debt of medical debt is a big difference. You didn't get a big screen TV or go to Harvard and not be able to pay your bill. This is something that oftentimes comes as a surprise. There's even these surprise bills that happen.
Yeah, right.
You think you're in network, and all of a sudden you're out of network, and you're like, wait a second, they even told me this was in network, and you get a $5,000 bill. So the system isn't great. Our system isn't great. It's not perfect. But you know what? I'd rather help, you know, 99 people that need it and miss one.
And no, I get that.
They're not upset that we're paying it either. I mean,
Tell me a story.
My partner, what if people say I didn't want my debt forgiven? I said, well, just send them the bill and say, here, you can pay it.
Yeah. I mean, I understand pride, and if you want to own this, you can. But we're happy to help. And oftentimes, these bills are paid anonymously. I understand. Can you tell me a story about somebody's bill and the amount and what happened?
Sure. Early on, we've abolished debt for almost, God, I think 1.8 million people. So this is one from really early on that really struck me. It was a single mom with 2 kids. She had 2 bad debts on her credit report, and we abolished both of them. And she had just been looking at her credit report like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and she was like, I don't know how I'm going to ever get this off, and I don't want this on my credit. And boom, she gets a yellow letter from us. Telling her that those debts were forgiven, and she just couldn't believe it. She sent a picture of her 2 kids and her smiling and thanking us. And, you know, God bless you. A lot of the people, this is a prayer answered that you just can't even believe, even if it's like $900. I thought that, you know, small balances, how could they make that much of a difference? You know, $900 or even a, you know, $200 bill, how could that make a difference to people? But I get letters after letters and calls thanking us for doing this. I think it's not only the amount, it's that someone cared enough to, you know, donate and have us buy their debt and abolish it, and it like renews their faith. I think that's what's going on here. And a lot of young people are really having the biggest problems, which is odd. I mean, the largest number of people that have medical debt in collections and on their credit reports is 27-year-olds. So it's like young people, people that are, you know, just starting out, you know, or a single mom or a nurse or a teacher that can't really afford a tremendous amount. So these people are getting benefits.
That's fascinating. 27, and I suspect it's because when you're 27, you don't think you're going to get sick. You don't think you're going to have a medical bill you can't afford. Maybe you couldn't afford insurance anyway, so there you were skating along, and then you get hit with a bill that you just aren't prepared for, huh?
Yeah, and you know what? One thing I did this year that I've never done before is I got a higher deductible plan. I mean, not like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 like some of the people have. And I used the HSA, the health savings account.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been like a dream. Like, I put almost $8,000 in here. Now, you know, that's a lot of money, but my company, the RIP Medical Debt, actually, what do we call it, matched the amount that I put in.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent every single penny of that.
Yeah.
Because we just have a lot of medical. But I can't even imagine what we would have done if we didn't have that money coming out of my paycheck, every single paycheck, and it adds up. But then when you get a bill, you can pay it like right away. It was like the greatest feeling.
Just cash in your account.
To be able to pay that bill right away.
Here's my pet peeve about those flex plans, because we have one here, and it's a great savings tool, and you don't pay taxes on the money that goes into the account. So you save, and you've set money aside. It's a great thing. And at the end of the year, if you've got money left over, go get your teeth cleaned or glasses. So that's swell. We do not have a debit or credit card attached to it. So here, this company I work for, while it's a nice offer, and I'm glad that we have it, I wish they'd make it easier, right? Because you got to get bills and document things, and it's not as streamlined.
You still have to pay it. Yeah,
and if you don't use the money,
it feels just as hard, right?
And if you don't use the money, then you eat it. So it's only a little bit tricky, but it's still a great thing. So the money that you use to pay people's medical bills is donated to you by churches, and John Oliver sent $15 million, and so it's a charitable donation to your organization, then you pay these bills. Is it always done anonymously? Do they know who the donors are or anything like that?
They never get to know who the debtors or the recipients are. I think that's what you might have meant. The people that are being helped, we cannot. It's a HIPAA violation, a privacy violation of these people. So even though people want to know who this debt is for, so I can thank them, and so we can get a thank you or ask them just to find out how this impacted them. But no, they don't. Nobody knows. I mean, I know, but nobody knows who these people are.
What's the biggest bill, Craig?
Letters get sent.
What's the largest amount that you've paid off for somebody?
$251,000. Now, the crazy thing is, the definition of a debt means an amount that you can actually pay back in your lifetime. So that really wasn't a real amount, right? How could that be if someone could never pay that, right? I mean, sometimes $20,000, $10,000, $5,000 is just as big as $250,000. For people.
Understood. But
it's an impossibility for them to get their hands around,
These bills say $5,000 or $250,000. Is that the gross, or is that just the percent that's left over?
That's the gross amount. Yeah. That's the gross amount. We pay less than 1% on debt, let's say 4 or 5 years old, maybe a little less, maybe a little older, and we pay up to 6% for debt that's, say, 1.5 years old.
Okay, now
that's kind of like the area that we're going in. And we're trying to figure out. One of the professors at University of Chicago and a consortium of three others from really top-notch universities like MIT and UCLA have been doing research with us to see, well, is the older debt just as impactful even though we're paying less than 1%, or is the younger debt more impactful when it's a year to 2 years old? Is that more impactful, even though we're only getting a 20-to-1 ratio, whereas 100-to-1 is what we get for the older debt? So we're doing that. We want to find out whether this improves wellness. That's another research we're doing with, we've spent probably $2 million between the researchers and us to research this whole issue, to see what is the biggest impact for our donors. And, you know, it's still unknown yet. I mean, we get the feeling what it is.
Yeah, hold on a second, Craig.
No, we don't know.
I want to make sure our listeners know how to make a donation or receive monies if they need it. And, you know, another angle that we didn't get into today, but maybe we will another day, is that's still a debt owed. Hospitals, doctors, nurses, people get paid money for services rendered, and it's ridiculous that these patients have that, but it's also somebody else on the other end who did render service, did have an expense, and they're not being compensated for it, not for a penny on a dollar. So there's that end of the equation.
Well, I got to tell you, it's interesting that you say that. We would love for everybody to be able to pay their bills. I mean, such a high percentage of people want to pay their bills, and this is a stigma that they can't, and they are very upset about it. It's a burden for them to look on the kitchen table and have a pile of bills that they cannot pay.
Wait one second. Ella said we got to take a break, and she's right. Let's pause here. We'll finish this conversation on the other side. And the most critical thing we can do is tell people how to take advantage of your service. Here we're finishing a conversation with Craig Antico. He is the co-founder of something called RIP Medical Debt. People can't pay their medical bills. They get sold on a secondary market. You can buy it and pay it off. Make money if you get more from the person that owed the money. Rather than do that, they said, let's just find some money, pay these bills, don't charge anybody anything. That is, eliminate the medical bills for people who cannot pay them. They have a formula for who deserves that charity. They get money from famous people, from churches, from people like you and me. We give the money, the bills get paid. So that's an amazing thing, Craig, and I appreciate you sticking through the break there, but I just wanted to, Elif, I'll let you punch the button. I just wanted to finish the conversation we were having. So if people want to either give to your charity or receive your charity, what do they do?
Sure. All they do is go to www.ripmedicaldebt.org, and they can donate. You can actually see each, whatever you want to give, it tells you how much it will abolish. It's pretty cool. So they could go there. Unfortunately, I'm not able to help individuals that come to us. I've had tens of thousands of people come to us and ask for help, and I can't figure a way yet to help them directly. It's so expensive. I'd have to add 1,000 people to do what we do for them. So I haven't been able to figure that out. So this is a random act of kindness. It's not somebody can come and apply for.
So then,
this is a one-way thing.
How are the recipients chosen? Where do you get the names of the people with these bills then?
Well, we just buy it from hospitals
and other debt buyers
on the secondary market. And then it's in that portfolio. So if a Chicagoland group wants to do business with us, like as a philanthropic group, what they can do is they can make sure that they get connections into their hospitals there and then have them contact us, and we'll buy all the debt in Chicagoland that's available to from these hospitals. We have millions of dollars to invest in wiping people's debt out. We double our donations every single year. We're probably going to bring in $20 million this year and probably $30-plus million next year. So we're going to have a lot of donations to buy debt, and we want to buy it directly from hospitals because that seems to be the most impactful and youngest debt that we can buy.
Craig Antico. Okay, RIP medical debt. RIP medical debt. Now, fascinating, Craig. Thank you for doing what you're doing, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on.